Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. We talk a lot about estate planning on this show. A lot. Partly because our listeners want to hear about it, and partly because it really, really matters. And the circumstances that you can be in are just so broad and varied for people. High assets, low assets, lots of family, no family, so many different circumstances. One that we don't talk a ton about is the type of person who has money that they're not going to spend in their lifetime, that they know is going to be a legacy for the generation to come. And they want to make sure that those loved ones are getting as much of that money as possible. So that particular angle is the one that we are going to focus on today. Our guest is Celine Sue, Director of Wealth Products for RBC Insurance. She's here to talk about how to maximize, I mean, it sounds like an odd thing to say, but maximize that inheritance for those who are passing it along to. Hello, Celine.
Hi there, how are you?
You saw me hesitate over the phrase maximize your inheritance, because I think rightly there is two thoughts that run parallel in my head. On the one hand, of course, I want to maximize it and minimize the tax and all that stuff. But I also want to, I'm planning on spending every single penny of mine, till the minute before I go off into the horizon. How do you think about this idea of maximizing your inheritance, the inheritance that you leave?
Yeah. And I think, you know, a big part of estate planning is really structuring your assets and finances in such a way that's going to minimize those taxes and fees. And that, you know, in order to maximize what your loved ones receive. But I think, you know, taking it a step back a little bit, because of course we want to maximize the inheritance, but, you know, we do need to understand about what's going to happen to your assets once you pass away. And, you know, many Canadians are in the dark when it comes to what happens to their money after they pass away. In fact, we just did a survey, and the survey revealed that 61% of Canadians are not familiar with the probate process.
Yeah. Well, if they listen to this, they're going to be a little bit more familiar. So can you tell us what the probate process is and maybe some things you can do to make it the least onerous process as possible for your executor and your family members?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think anybody that's gone through the probate process, it's not a pleasant experience. And, you know, when someone does pass away, their estate and their will must go through this process called probate. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, and I don't want to oversimplify it either, but it's basically that legal process that your assets and your will needs to go through in order to distribute your assets once you've passed away. And this process can be very costly, very time consuming. Some estates can settle very quickly, but some can take months or even years to settle. But I think the fact is that every will has to go through this probate process. So you really want to be prepared. And I think more importantly, you want to prepare your loved ones so that they aren't having to pay for any fees, any of the taxes, or any out-of-pocket expenses that will start to accumulate after you pass away.
And how do you do that? How do you prepare them?
Yeah, and this is kind of where insurance products can come into play. Products such as segregated funds can help to grow and protect your money, but they can also play a really important role in your estate plan and can be used as a strategy to minimize those fees and taxes that we were talking about when you're planning your estate. So seg funds, because they're insurance products, they bypass probate, they bypass your will. So you're not having to pay for those fees that come with probate. So there's an element of cost savings there. You know, with your assets going through your will, those costs could amount to upwards of 10% of your estate. But any money that's put in a seg fund product, which is very similar to mutual funds, but they offer very many unique benefits because they're insurance products, they will save you from a lot of those probate costs, executor costs, legal costs, and leave. That means that, you know, more money is left in your loved one's hands.
And they're an insurance product, but they're not insurance.
Exactly. They're a hybrid. I would say, you know, they are insurance, but they're also investment products. So very similar to mutual funds that help you grow and protect your assets, but they have estate planning benefits that come along with them.
Tell me more about that. Because when I think of insurance, I think I'm protecting myself from calamity. If I die and my wealth is in a seg fund, it's not like they get the equivalent of a term life payout because I've got a seg fund.
Exactly. And I love the way you position that, because I often use that as an example. You know, you think of insurance, you think of life insurance to protect your life. You think of health insurance, you know, critical disability to protect your health. And you have home and auto insurance to protect your home and your car. So seg funds is insurance for your money. And so it's a way to think of, you know, when you pass away, those assets in a seg fund will bypass probate. And the way that seg funds work is that they offer something called a death benefit guarantee. And again, don't want to get into too many details, but basically what the death benefit guarantee is, it's insurance on your money. So it basically guarantees that your beneficiaries will get no less than what you deposited into that investment. So if markets go up, your beneficiaries will get to enjoy all of the positive markets and the market movement. But if the markets go down, you have the peace of mind knowing that they will never get less than what you put in. So it's really protection.
And the trade-off, for lack of a better word, is that typically seg funds have a higher management expense ratio than if you were just to buy either a regular mutual fund with the same stocks in it or an exchange-traded fund, and they're higher because of that insurance protection. Have I simplified that sufficiently?
Yeah. There is an additional insurance fee. But you know, it could range from, you know, 10 basis points to 100 basis points. Again, it's not, I don't want to say that it's much more expensive than a mutual fund. They could be very comparable in price at some points.
Now, so seg funds is one thing that you would think about as a part of your estate plan. What else would you think about when it comes to insurance?
You know, you want to talk about, you know, life insurance, of course. You mentioned that before. And also there are products called payout annuities as well that you might want to think about as an estate plan or part of your retirement plan. And these are products that will provide a guaranteed income for life. So these are products that, if you do not have a pension plan at work, is something that you may want to consider. So basically what you would do is you would invest a lump sum with the insurance company, and in turn, the insurance company will provide you with an income for life, so that, you know, you don't have to worry about depleting all of your savings if, you know, it's really to manage that longevity risk.
Yeah.
In case everybody wants to live too long, but you
sure.
know.
Yeah. It's funny because I am of the temperament that really, truly, I believe I'm going to not live forever, but I'm going to like tap out at 100, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the mortality tables would say I'm wrong. Like there's a chance I will, but not likely. How do you, as marketers of those products, address the temperament and then the practicality for people when they think about annuities?
Yeah. And that's really it. You know, how we position annuities is that, you know, you're not going to put all your eggs in one basket. You're not going to put all of your savings into an annuity, but you want to diversify across product types. So you want to have part of your savings put into something that's going to offer you a guaranteed income for life. And, you know, if you have a pension plan, a defined benefit pension plan with your employer, you may want to increase or supplement that with a payout annuity. So that's the way we position it here, is that, you know, calculate the expenses that you may have in your retirement and purchase an annuity that will provide you with that income, so that at least you know that things like your mortgage, your utility bills, medication, gas, groceries, you know that if you live, you know, dipping into your other savings to pay for those.
I want to ask a question that we talk about all the time when we talk about estate planning, and that is, how do we ensure that these conversations occur in between family members and friends often, and how do we ensure that they include the topics, the things that need to be spoken about to make life easier, both emotionally and practically for everyone?
Yeah, you bring up an excellent point. You know, I think these conversations are not happening enough. But I also understand that money and end of life discussions are very difficult for people. And these conversations can feel very uncomfortable. I mean, you know, nobody wants to talk about death. No one wants to think about their own mortality. So it's really, how can we reframe the conversation so it's not so difficult? And, you know, based on personal experience, I can offer up a few tips. My parents are very, very open with their estate plan with us. You know, they've already decided where they want to be buried. They've paid for that already. And my parents, they revisited their will not too long ago to add some more grandchildren. And, you know, we discussed the details of their will with my brothers and I. And my brothers and I left with a better understanding. It was a difficult conversation, but we left with a better understanding of what they want. And I think that was my parents' main objective, was really to ensure that we as their children are not burdened by any aspects at that time once they pass away. They want to make sure that, you know, there's no added burden on us because we're going to be already going through an emotional time. We don't need the added stress, the added grief of what this could, you know, what decisions we may have to make if they hadn't made them. So, you know, if you haven't discussed your estate plan, I would, you know, offer up a couple of tips potentially. Number one, think about how you want to bring it up, where you want to bring it up, with who you want to bring it up with. Make sure that everybody knows what's on the agenda. So make sure there's no surprises. You know, my parents always call a family meeting and we know, you know, it's something that they want to talk about with us. And above all else, be sympathetic and empathetic because you may be ready to discuss your state, but your loved ones may not be.
Are there snacks at your family meeting?
There's always snacks.
Are there always? Because that'd be my big thing. I'd be like, okay, family meeting, whatever. But what are we eating?
Yes. Oh, always homemade food for sure. Oh,
fantastic. See, that's the vested interest. More people should promise snacks and then people would have the conversation. It wouldn't be so threatening. There'd be snacks.
There you go.
Celine, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Celine Sue is with RBC Insurance, and she was here to talk about estate planning, but in particular, the inheritance piece for those who are going to plan on leaving something for this next generation.